You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, what is going on, Notre Dame fans? You've got Mike Singer. You've got Kyle Kelly. We are live on a Friday afternoon talking some Notre Dame football recruiting. Hope everyone is doing well, whether you are live with us, if you're watching back, if you are listening to this via podcast. Kyle, I'm in a great mood. Don't have a whole lot going on this weekend. Got a little date night tonight with the wife, hanging out with some friends tomorrow. Conference championship games on Sunday. Go Lions. Pulling for the Lions. But yeah, it's a great time to be alive. Great time to follow Notre Dame football. Kyle, you doing well, my friend? Oh, sorry, Kyle. I got you muted, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say I applaud the Notre Dame recruiting staff for pointing everyone to one weekend in January for the visitors. Although it makes for a hectic 5 days leading up to it and certainly the 5 days after, I will 100% take a little more quiet weekends for the rest of the January. I think we're in a contact period. I know you're going to talk a little bit more about that now, but million differences with the NCAA recruiting schedules, quiet periods, contact periods, evaluation periods, dead periods. Usually anything beside a dead period, kids can come visit campus. I think we're in the contact one now. But, yeah, I'm happy that it's only one weekend for Notre Dame, and sounds like the early returns coming out of that, well, not so much early anymore, but the returns coming away from that junior day visit weekend are strong.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I saw Miami has like 50 four and five star players on campus this weekend. And I saw like, ooh, first thought I was like, man, that's gotta be a bear to cover. And then secondly, like, Miami's going to have all these elite recruits on campus, but Notre Dame is still going to, you know, kick their ass up and down the field in terms of, you know, record. And I don't know when the next time Miami and Notre Dame play, but Notre Dame's continued to be a better program than Miami in recent years. We'll forget the 2017 game, but otherwise, or
2017. There's two Notre Dame games that just live in my memory that I just cannot erase. It was that 2017 Miami game, major disappointment, and then the one in, I think, 2019 against Michigan. Oh, my God.
All right, we can't talk about either of those games. All right. Yeah. Well, on to happier things. Folks, hit that thumbs up on this video. Subscribe to our channel, of course, for more content. Go to blueandgold.com for more Notre Dame Fighting Irish football and recruiting coverage. Our offer for you guys is $1 for 2 months if you are a new subscriber when you use the promo code UND1. So please check that out over, again, at blueandgold.com using the promo code UND1. So we're going to talk some junior day, some coaches on the road, where the staff is at today specifically. And then we're also going to discuss the Notre Dame class of 2025 wide receiver board. So again, folks, if you have not done so yet, hit that little thumbs up button at the bottom of the video. Really helps support what we're doing here at Blue and Gold. We got Twan in the chat, Murdercap, K-Mac, Jeremy. Hope you guys are all doing well again. Appreciate you joining us live here. So like you said, Kyle, Notre Dame had a monstrous junior day recruiting weekend with 23 prospects in the 2025 class on campus, at least according to what we updated on these profiles, Kyle, and then one in the 2026 class in Brady Schmeigel. So, I mean, you had, what, one, two, three, four, five top 100 prospects. I mean, tons and tons of four-star players. So I wanted to start with Kyle, like, what is your one biggest takeaway from the junior day recruiting weekend? You know, as we sit 6 days removed from it, we've been talking to sources, we've been talking to the recruits, we've been writing all the articles. What's your one biggest takeaway from this recruiting weekend?
Well, I'm going to preface this by saying I don't think Notre Dame fans are going to like it, but we don't have any commits yet, because I know going into it, everyone kept saying, like, who's on commit watch? Who are the guys that are going to be, you know, who are they going to pop? Who's going to pop when? You know, after Saturday, you know, I got a million text messages. How many commit stories do you guys have written already? Like, all these things. And I'm trying to tell people, like, listen, like, the last two junior days, like, in the Marcus Freeman era, commitments did not happen fast coming out of this weekend.
Yeah.
They end up trickling in the few months after the junior day weekend. But with that said, I think that we could have our highest output of verbal commitments from targets that attended last Saturday's junior day than we've ever had. I think they had three last year, four the year before. I set the over under, I think, at 3.5 this year, and I still love the over for that. So I mentioned earlier, everything we've heard coming out of the junior day weekend seems to be pretty positive. I know every now and then we'll hear about a visit that just goes extremely poorly. Maybe some recruits not super engaged while on campus, but seems like to no surprise, really, that Chad Bowden, Dre Brown, and Carter Allman knocked out of the park for these guys. And I'm really excited to see, like, what ends up coming of this junior day down the road, because I think there's a lot of guys that are thinking about Notre Dame as their top school right now.
Okay, good stuff, Kyle. I have three thoughts on that. Let's see if I can remember all of them. One, do you remember last week's show when we were talking about commit watch? And I was like, we got to preface this with, like, when? Like, what's the timeline? Because I'm with you, man. These big visit weekends happen. Notre Dame fans are like, we're getting every single player. I'm like, okay, like, we gotta, like, temper expectations at least for the meantime in terms of, like, who could be committing right now. So, like Kyle brings up, it's not about who commits right now. Whether someone like Mark Zachary commits on January 26th or December 15th, it doesn't matter. He's going to be the same player. If he picks the same school, it doesn't matter. Obviously, you want to get him committed sooner than later. But, like, that's what really bothers me when people are like, Notre Dame's not finishing the class strong by not getting commitments late. It doesn't matter when the player's committed. Would you rather Notre Dame sign 25 guys and they all committed in December, or the same 25 guys and they all kind of commit throughout the cycle? It doesn't matter when they commit. So that's kind of a side note. The other thing, with 24 prospects on campus, according to our count there, 11 of them committed to the Irish. So there's a math thing there. You could only have, you know, 13 of those guys commit. One of them doesn't have an offer, though, so that's go down to 12. One's a 2026 prospect, so it's down to 11 right there. So it's also kind of a numbers thing with it. And I don't remember my third point, but I'm proud of remembering two of the three. So, it did seem to be a good recruiting weekend for the Irish, Kyle. I mean, you mentioned we do hear sometimes about bad visits. That's a question I get a good bit. It's like, Mike, do you ever hear about a bad visit? Do you ever write an article about a bad visit? I usually don't write the article if it's a bad visit, because I will know about it and I don't do the interview if we're just going to have a cards on the table. But yeah, it does happen. And I was asking sources, were any like prospects who like the staff like didn't click with, or vice versa? And I didn't hear any of that, Kyle.
I wanted to give you a third point.
Okay.
Because I felt like I should have mentioned this as well, even though this was a big theme on last week's shows. How about the job Notre Dame did with Nathaniel Owusu-Boateng?
Yeah.
The brother of, or half-brother, former Notre Dame linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. That visit came out of nowhere. The fact that they got him on campus was a major victory. And the way the visit went, I mean, Nathaniel Owusu-Boateng, I think he probably talked to a dozen different Notre Dame and national reporters about his Notre Dame visit. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be a top 50 recruit in the 2025 class. I don't think that guy's going to be spending time talking to all these reporters about a visit that didn't go well. And I know that you heard from sources inside the Goog that they really didn't think it could have gone better. Like, it was just an absolute home run. But now here we are talking about 11 months from signing day. A lot of time to go. But, like, Nathaniel Owusu-Boateng is a guy that doesn't visit a lot of campuses. And the fact that things went that well for him on his first trip to Notre Dame, I think that's a really encouraging sign for the aspirations of the 2025 class.
Yeah, definitely a good development. Adding him and Tylan Taylor late to the visit list, I think was a really huge. Yeah, it was huge. My big takeaway from this was offensive line recruiting and just how good it can be, because we were kind of hearing three offensive linemen was what Notre Dame was wanting to take. But when you're offensive line, it can be hard to like limit yourself to a number like three, because you might have other prospects beating down your door that are very talented. And you're just like, man, we can't turn this guy down. So Owen Strebig visiting Miami, Kyle, right this weekend?
Sunday, yep.
And he was at Wisconsin the weekend of the 13th. But we still really like Notre Dame here. The vibe I'm getting, Kyle, and you cover him. You talk to Owen much more frequently than I do. But just kind of what I'm hearing from sources on Owen is that he's just enjoying this recruiting process. Again, folks, whether he would commit to Notre Dame this month or in April, doesn't matter. I think it's you would rather him be more sure of the decision to pick the Irish than rushing it and then taking more visits. You'd rather have him take those kind of visits now. So he's going to go see Miami this weekend. Do we see a 6'7", 300-pounder from Wisconsin going to a school like Miami? I mean, sure, but no. I mean, you know, like, no, I don't see Owen Strebig getting up there. Yeah, Jack Lang from Missouri, a prospect I logged a prediction for Notre Dame to land following this recruiting weekend. I think Notre Dame ends up getting him. 6'8", 275 pounds is what Lang is listed at. Sources were buzzing. Kyle, you know, when I'm done with my spiel here, you can discuss your conversation with Jack Lang and then Maddie Augustine from Greenwich, right? Because I got yelled at so much in the comments.
It's hilarious you say that, because I know I was messaging you in the chat last week, spitballing how to pronounce Augustine's last name, because I heard someone say Augustine, but I can assure you it's Augustine. And then it got my mind wondering, I was like, how do you pronounce where he's from? And I'm pretty sure it is Greenwich. So
yeah.
I call it Greenwich, and you know, there's Greenwich, but I think it's Greenwich.
I got yelled at for the pronunciation of Kookias High School. I've been saying Punahou for years. Someone's yelling at me. Like, guys, find something else to do with your life rather than yell at people for not knowing how something is pronounced. Like, get over yourself, okay? And, Kyle, I'm not really saying that to you with the whole last name thing, because you're just trying to help me sincerely. But, listen, guys, you just gotta find something else to do. You know, maybe go breathe some fresh air. Go outside. You know, just look at the clouds and the stars at night. Just you know, go touch some grass, breathe some fresh air. Don't yell at strangers on the internet for mispronouncing something, you know, on accident. Like, I don't know any different. But I will continue on. Maddie Augustine, Greenwich, Connecticut, Brunswick School. I really like where Notre Dame's at for this recruitment. I've been saying for months now, it really seems like it's Notre Dame or Wisconsin for him. And yeah, I think the Irish are in a good spot there. I do believe he was taking a visit, I think, to Wisconsin this weekend. But again, I think that Notre Dame is the team to beat there. So you got Will Black committed, and you got Augustine, Lang, Strebig. I like the Irish to land all four of those guys, or three of those guys, in addition to Black, who's already committed. And yeah, I think that would be, I talked about this on our show with Tim Hyde Wednesday night, like, on paper, going back to like the 2021 recruiting class, because from 2021 to 2024, Notre Dame's offensive line recruiting has just been outstanding. You got to think that 2025 on paper might be the best. It's you know, 2021 was outstanding with Fisher, Spindler, and Alts, but like on paper, 2025 might be the best.
Certainly could be, but I just like keep thinking in the back of my mind, like, if you're one of those guys, would you want to join a four offensive tackle class? Like, of course, there's always the opportunity that those guys can move inside to play guard, but there's only two offensive tackle positions on the roster. And then you look at what the Hall and Notre Dame got in the previous cycle with Kirby Lambert, who we think, or at least I do, is a potential left tackle candidate. I know Styles Prescott is being recruited as a tackle, and Anthony Knapp has the ability to play tackle. And I know you can probably say this about every cycle, but I know us and Tim Hyde and everyone on our Loose Emoji message board, we have talked extensively about how all four of these guys are best suited for
tackle. Can I interrupt you? Are you trying to dissuade these kids from going to Notre Dame? I don't.
I'm not.
The fact of the matter is they do look good for all of them.
Exactly.
And I think they would agree that right now they're going to land all of them.
I can say for certain that Notre Dame is either the top school or a top two school for each one. Like I've said that on our board specifically about Augustine and Strubik for months now. And I had to change my tune on Lang a little bit because Lang even told me that I was right about Lang when I talked to him back in the fall when he got his Notre Dame offer. Notre Dame wasn't a true contender for him. It wasn't until Lang visited Michigan. This is really random, but he went and visited Michigan at the end of November, talked to Joe Rudolph on the way back from the trip from Michigan to try to get a gauge where he was at Notre Dame's board. There was a big reset there, and then that's where Lang started to really like the Irish. So, but anyway, just summarizing, I do think all three of those guys, have a really good chance to go to Notre Dame. And I guess it would be really impressive if Notre Dame got all three, four of those guys to buy in as offensive tackles, which, I'm certainly not counting them out from doing that.
Yeah, I've heard that Lang was liking Michigan and Notre Dame the most and was kind of monitoring the Jim Harbaugh situation. So, I don't know if Sharon Moore is the guy and they kind of keep that staff intact, if what that does for Lang or what, but I do like where Notre Dame's at for him right now. Again, so kind of the junior day takeaways for myself and Kyle Kelly. And before we move into our next discussion here, I got some questions for you guys as always. And I'm going to ask you, if you are a corporate executive, are you wanting to put your career in your own hands? Are you an experienced entrepreneur wanting to diversify? If you're answering yes to any of these questions, you're going to want to give Andy Ludicky a call. Andy's a huge college sports fan and franchise veteran, having owned multiple franchises and businesses. And using Andy's expertise, he's going to help you find your American dream through a very thorough consultation and evaluation process. So give Andy a call. His number is 404-973-9901. And put your life and career in your own hands. And best of all, his services are 100% free to you. So what do you have to lose? Find your perfect franchise at myperfectfranchise.net. Call Andy, 404-973-9901, myperfectfranchise.net. Coaches are out on the road this week and have been since, last Tuesday? And then, Kyle, let me pull this up real quick, my friend. And the Irish will be out on the road until next Thursday. I think their last day on the road is next Thursday, which is the last day of that contact period. So whether it's any specific player update or something, a trend you're seeing on the Notre Dame staff, do you have a takeaway or something you've learned from Notre Dame's time out on the road this month?
That there's a good chunk of guys that they're not giving up on in the 2025 cycle, despite those guys not publicly being interested in Notre Dame, to the fact that they haven't visited campus or really spoken outwardly about their Notre Dame interests. I know there's, it seems like over a handful of guys, probably close to a dozen, that have offers from Notre Dame, and a lot of guys have been new offers, which is really credit to the staff for, they're not getting complacent. Because I feel like you could just look at your target board and, you could really narrow it down. But they are going far and wide, coast to coast, to build up this 25 class. And it's honestly really impressive. I know that, people are, I know we'll talk about this later, but people are like freaking out, like, oh my God, the wide receivers board, like 7 new offers. There's about 18 guys offered in the class now at wide receiver. Like, what are they going to do? Like, defensive line, you already got 4 commits and you're still offering all those guys. Like, I have no problem with it whatsoever. Like, a great move by the coaching staff to continue just look at, you know, looking at like no stone unturned. I think that's been the theme of the last few weeks. You know, there's guys that they're trying to see. They saw 2 Auburn defensive line commits, or at least that was on the plan this week, which I found really interesting. 2 Auburn D-line commits, both who reside in Alabama. Supposedly a defensive line coach at Washington was scheduled to be there. So they are they're burning up the miles, man. You get I don't know if there's another school in the country that is out on the road recruiting harder than Notre Dame right now.
Yeah, I love it, Kyle. And I think a perfect example of that is someone like Josh Petty from Georgia, who I believe Joe Rudolph was at his school yesterday. Or am I tripping? No, Denbrock. Denbrock was at his school yesterday. It was supposed to be, or some Notre Dame staffer. But Irish had 7 coaches in the Peach State yesterday. And I do believe that at least Denbrock was scheduled to go to Petty's High School. And then we have reason to believe that the staff will also be at Petty's High School next week. So let me just pull up, if I can, his little profile thing here. So Petty is from Roswell, Georgia, Fellowship Christian School, number 18 overall player, number 3 offensive tackle. We just talked about Augustine, Lang, Black, Strebig, and they're still going after someone like Josh Petty. I think that does kind of show, like, yeah, they are not complacent at all. They might feel really good about signing those 4 tackles, but it's not a guarantee. So you continue to go after other guys. And then your point about the D-line board, like Notre Dame, from what I was told, I mean, they already got 4 pass rushers. I'd say 4.5, throwing in Dom Hulock. Hulock there. So Kyle doesn't message me saying Hulock. Kyle, I love this. Kyle will be like, hey, just talk to Dominic Hulock on the phone. And he will spell it so that I know it's who. We'll type in who-lock so that he like trains me to pronounce it correctly. Kyle, I love it. So yeah, I would say 4.5. Shanklin, they certainly want. We'll talk about Damon Shanklin a little bit from Indy. You know, he'd be like 5.5, but I think they could take 6.5. Seriously, like, they are really wanting to load up on the D-line this cycle. My big takeaway, Kyle, is the, and this is kind of lead us into another topic, is the how much the several assistant coaches are traveling with Freeman. I feel like this, like, it's usually always, okay, let me start that over. It's always one at least. He's always traveled with an assistant coach. Because Freeman, when he's going out on the road during the contact period, now he can't go out on the road during the spring eval period that runs from mid-April to the end of May. And then Notre Dame usually just goes on the road for May because they have spring ball at the end of April still. And then, you know, they think they usually will, like, take a week between spring ball and then going out on the road to kind of recharge the batteries a little bit. But so he goes on the road during, you know, the December, you know, home visit time, and then January for this period we're currently in. He's on the private jet, and he always will go with an assistant coach. But we have seen this month, it has been up to, hold on, Kyle, let me see. On the 24th, he had 4 other coaches with him throughout the day. On this past Monday, it was still 4. I mean, I think yesterday it was maybe 6, you know, when the coaches were in Florida, then they went up to Georgia. So they are really traveling together. And Tim High brought this up to me on our Wednesday show, and he was like, I mean, he's kind of questioning it a little bit, not sure why. And my thought process, Kyle, is the big change in the rule of when you're in this contact period, it's always been, that's the senior class. So you're for this cycle, 2024. You go do those visits. You can go to the high school and, you know, hang out with them for an extended period of time. Well, the NCAA added for this contact period again, which is December and the beginning of December to the end of January, with 2 or 3 weeks in the middle there where it's a dead period. Thank God we don't have to work on Christmas like that. They added in that the coaches can now have that contact with class of 2025 prospects too. So when they're going to these high schools, they can sit down. I mean, I tweeted out a picture. I'll pull it up in case you guys didn't see it, of Jerome Bettis Jr. and several Notre Dame coaches with his parents. This was really cool. Look at it from left to right. Mike Brown, Jerome Bettis. I forget how to say Jerome Bettis's Jerome Bettis Sr.'s wife's name. So I'm gonna not mispronunciate it so people don't yell at me. But Miss Bettis, Jerome Bettis Jr., Marcus Freeman, Mike Mickens, and Mike Denbrock. So this could not happen before, and now it can. And I think that Notre Dame is having several coaches together for like a big home visit. Now, speak like home visit specifically, I don't think they can actually go to the Bettis home, or they can't go to the home of the 2025 prospects. This is taken at Woodward Academy. So this is a really cool development, I think, for college football recruiting. I don't know when these kids go to class, Kyle. Do they go to class anymore during this period? I mean, I'm hearing stories about a head coach pulling a kid out of class and talking to him for an hour and a half. So that might be a notable downside to this, but I do think that the relationship building here is very positive. I mean, Kyle, when we were hiring you, it was just phone calls, you know, Zoom calls, all that stuff. But, you know, you really bond with someone when you hang out with them in person. Jerome Bettis is able to get up to South Bend a lot, but a lot of kids don't get up to campus a lot. So, you know, now that these coaches can go to the high school and not just bump into them, use the bunny ears for podcast audience, now they can actually have these real in-depth conversations, spend, you know, extended amount of time together, 30 minutes, hour, whatever it is. I think that that's been cool. And I think Notre Dame has done a good job having several staffers there for these visits. And I think when you're traveling on the private jet, I think it makes life a little bit easier for the assistant coaches to work as hard as they do, right? Like Freeman's traveling in luxury. It's still hard work that he is doing, but it does make it a little bit easier when you're on the jet.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine being one of these coaches. New airport every day, new rental car every day, going through security. Who knows how many times a day? Like, I'm fed up. Like, the once every 3 months I have to fly. And these guys have to do like a dozen times during, you know, one month when there's a contact period. So Notre Dame, man, those coaches are racking up the flight miles because they've been everywhere. They've been to California. They probably will be in Hawaii next week. All along the Northeast. Like, they're not really driving many places. So they have hit things really hard. And the one thing I've always, I don't know how overrated this might be, but I've just enjoyed the thought of the coaches traveling with Freeman from like a team building aspect. Like, I think it's extremely valuable, especially when they have a new coach. Like Mike Denbrock, he's the new offensive coordinator, has pretty much been with Freeman on recruiting visits the entire last 2 weeks. And Denbrock, you know, there's like four other guys on that plane, three other coaches. So they're getting to know each other. I also like that Denbrock has accompanied Freeman with a lot of the visits as well, because kind of gives them the opportunity to Freeman to introduce Denbrock to the kids. You know, he's a new guy. So I really like that aspect as well.
Kyle, I'm not going to lie, man. We've done dozens of these shows. I think this is the best show we've ever done. I mean, I feel like this has been a fantastic show. Kyle's bringing it, man. Kyle has been bringing it. Love this.
Usually, gosh, some weeks are really stressful, but this week, knock on wood.
Hopefully. Dude, don't say that. Knock on wood, everybody. Okay.
It was funny. Real quick, I forget. It was earlier in the week, I was telling my girlfriend, I was like, it just seems too quiet. Like, things are too quiet right now. And I think that's when they extended like five offers in one night or something. There was something else.
So really, that was your fault that happened. Okay.
Yep. Blame it on me.
Thank you, Kyle. Yeah. But then you got the coaches, you know, tweeting out the eyeball emojis and
That was the night.
Yeah. So, and people ask me, Mike, what's this about? I'm like, listen, man, I can't be responsible for telling you guys secrets that other people are doing. Like that, that can't be right. Does that make sense, Kyle? Like other people are trying to like tease you and put something out. Like it can't be my. I know that might sound a little bit like, but Mike, you report on rumors in high school football recruiting, but I just think that that there's a difference between, it's kind of like with commitments and like spoiling commitments. Like I don't do that. When a kid gives a silent commitment, I shut up. It's all about the kid's moment. So if these coaches, you know, Chad and Dre and, Deuce, like Deuce is not a coach, but, and Carter Ahman, like if those guys are putting out the eyeball emojis, you got to ask them what it's about. Like, it's not my, like, that's not my thing to share. So I digress. Bernie said, okay, Singer, I went outside and smelled the grass and I'll try not to mess up any more names. Bernie, I love that comment. K-Mac said the jet fuel prices have to be insane. I do think about like how expensive it is, for all these travels. You got to think like going from like, let's say the West Coast to the Midwest, that flight right there is in the five digits easy alone. So yeah, it's not a cheap proposition. Now I don't know exactly how Notre Dame funds it, but just from what I've been told, just about private flying like that, it's very expensive. And then Jeremy said, can Notre Dame finish in the top five for this class? Seem like this one is setting up better than last year. Jeremy, you can, that comment, copy and paste it, and you can send it to me at literally every single point in this recruiting cycle for every moment of time, like every year ever. Like, this is just how it is. Like, this is how it always seems. Maybe this year will be different, but I think it's going to be really difficult for Notre Dame to sign top five class, man. Kyle, do you have 30 seconds on that?
Well, a big part of that is Deuce Knight. If he continues to remain, close to five-star status, and there's some guys on the board that are potential five-star guys, such as Nathaniel Usu-Boateng, Talon Taylor, the wide receiver. Trying to think who they have committed. Ivan Taylor, he's a highly ranked guy. So, yeah, I mean, all those guys continue to remain top 100 guys. Notre Dame ends up getting them, everything. Like, there's a lot of factors that go into that. But yeah. Notre Dame recruits at a top five level, that's for sure. They recruit harder than any other school in the country. But, yeah, it is just really hard to say where they're going to end up a year from now.
It is. But like I've said on my tangent, and I'm going to keep preaching this because it's something I feel strongly about. Like, it's not a popular opinion, but when you go look on Rivals at 24/7 or maybe even ESPN, if they even do team rankings anymore, you see Notre Dame's number one right now. You got to take it with the context of how they do those rankings is a popularity contest. Who has the most commitments is ranked highest right now. It's just how it is. And on three, how they do their rankings, like I think Notre Dame is what? Five?
Yeah.
And I see comments from people who are like, on three, typical on three. So, yeah. You let me know, Notre Dame fan, where do you think it's more likely for Notre Dame to finish in the team rankings right now? One or six, right? It's six, right? Because on three, how they do the rankings, it's they try to have it more of a representation of the actual best classes based on, an average number of commits per Power Five school, which is three right now. So it's only taking your top three into account rather than just a popularity contest of who has the most commitments. I remember like the 2022 or 2023 class, Texas Tech was killing it early. They had 17 commits, and Texas Tech, I think, was the number two class in the country behind Notre Dame on Rivals. And it's like, okay, so is Texas Tech going to throw a party, for being the number two school in the country? Like it's January. It's like, having a 28-3 lead against the the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. Like, you want to stop the game and throw yourself the championship parade? No, you have to win the game. So there you go. That's my little rant there. Notre Dame is on the road today, Kyle. Most of the staff did come off the road. Thank goodness. Give those guys a weekend off. Although, you know, we'll see if there's anyone on campus this weekend. No high school guys, really, to my knowledge. But Marcus Freeman, as we reported this morning at BlueandGold.com, Freeman, Mickens, and Washington are on the road in Indianapolis. Washington's also in Chicago. But those three guys, seeing Damien Shanklin today, four-star pass rusher from Warren Central, and then Mark Zachary from Ben Davis, a highly rated cornerback prospect. Both of these guys in the 2025 class, both of these guys visited Notre Dame this weekend. Both of these guys talked to our boy Kyle Kelly. So, Kyle, just quick rundown of these two guys, what you're thinking about these top targets for the Irish.
Yeah, Notre Dame is a top school for both, but Mark Zachary is the name I'm watching. He is much further along in the process than Shanklin. I think Zachary is going to begin thinking about a decision after basketball season. It's kind of the vibe I get there. Zachary is a big-time basketball player. He talked to Micah Shrewsbury, Notre Dame's men's basketball coach, during his visit. If Zachary commits to Notre Dame, they're going to have some sort of role for him on the basketball team, whether he just shows up in practices or is on the bench during games and has the opportunity to play. They haven't really ironed out the details of what that could look like because they're waiting for Zachary to commit. But after talking to him, I think Notre Dame is a really good spot. I've echoed this on the Loose Emoji board for months. Notre Dame has been the leader for Mark Zachary since probably June. The school we continue to watch with him is Ohio State. But the one thing I found really interesting when I was talking to him, you know, he was talking about schools he wanted to visit and those sorts of things. And he mentioned wanting to visit Tennessee and Oregon. No mention of Ohio State or Michigan, two teams I thought were top contenders for him. We spent last week's show diving pretty deep to Mike's disgust probably about the Ohio State recruiting board, but I will mention that Dorian Brew, the cornerback target from Ohio State, postponed his commitment date as the Texas schools chase after him. So I'm wondering how that will impact Zachary's recruitment. I know the Buckeyes were in to see him this week. I'm going to touch base with Mark here in a couple days. I try to give these kids some space. I joke with Damien Shanklin. I was like, man, you are probably so sick of hearing from me. And all he did was put the laughing emoji. So I was like, oh, that's all you need to know. But Damien's been great to talk to throughout his recruitment as well. Notre Dame's a leader here for him. I think I can say that pretty confidently at this point. But Damien Shanklin is a few months away from considering a commitment. Right now, he's just really enjoying the recruiting process. I don't really think his family has been on many, if any, college visits with him. It's all college, all his high school coaches that are on these visits. So he's just trying to get a feel for things right now. But the one thing that I can say pretty confidently right now with Shanklin is I think he's going to end up close to home, whether that is at Notre Dame or maybe Purdue, who we saw on Tuesday. I know he's visiting Indiana on Saturday. I think that's the intention. I don't see Indiana as a major player there. Tennessee is another school I'm really tracking closely for Shanklin. But I think when all is said and done, wherever he ends up signing, I think will be somewhere, you know, within a driving distance from home. So I know he has USC and Texas offers. Both those schools are great. Both those schools are recruiting him. Shanklin's really interested in both those schools. But I think that for the first time since 2012, I looked up the stat last week, I think 2012, Notre Dame could sign the top two players in Indiana if the rankings hold.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Would both be great additions for the Irish. Comment here, Bryce Young, I guess, got bumped to five-star status. I did want to pop this up on the screen, kind of going back to our whole rankings discussion and you guys yelling at me about team rankings. I just hope, I mean, look at, for all of the crap that Kyle and I have had to see about Notre Dame fans yelling about CJ Carr's ranking, whether that's warranted or not, Are you guys yelling at the Inside Irish Sports guys at Rivals about Bryce Young being ranked this low? I mean, On3 and 24/7 have him ranked pretty damn high. 24/7 just bumped them up to a 5-star. You got ESPN and Rivals 220 and 221 there. So, so there you go. Bryce Young, congratulations, 5-star status. He definitely has that upside. That is for damn sure. Bryce Young's a fantastic talent. Kyle, we're going to wrap up today's show talking about the wide receiver board in the 2025 class. You did discuss it a little bit, kind of looking at just how much the board has expanded. And the receiver board has been fairly similar to the O-line board, in my opinion. Big difference being O-line board does have a commit. Receiver does not yet, but the number I was hearing was 3 for receivers, just like I was hearing 3 for offensive line. But just the way they're offering guys makes me think they might end up with 4, and they have 2 guys who look to be pretty darn close to committing to the Irish, or maybe not in terms of like timeline. I don't know exactly what their timelines are looking like. These guys both might be spring summer guys, but Derek Meadows from Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas. I just talked to him on a couple days ago. I haven't been able to get around to posting the article yet, but we'll obviously do that in the near future. Number 132 overall player, number 17 receiver in the country. Do believe that Notre Dame will be at Gorman next week to see Meadows. Irish are looking really good there. And then you have, of course, Jerome Bettis Jr., the son of the bus, 6'3", 185 pounds. So if we would say that's 2 right there, and then they have, 16 other guys they've offered in the class, and they look to be in pretty good position for some of these guys. It's like, do they just have one more spot if they do land those 2? So some names of note: Elijah Burgess, the son of Plexico Burris, Nasir Newkirk, Notre Dame sophomore from North Carolina, Sean Terry was on campus this past weekend, Raiden Vines-Bright, the staff is seeing this week. I think Notre Dame could get Kobe Howard if they made a big push for him. Cooper Perry, I feel the same. Lex Cyrus is a guy I know you're excited about from Pennsylvania, who Notre Dame just offered. Donovan Olugbode is from Chicagoland. He's at ING Academy right now. Notre Dame just was in to see him and offered him a scholarship. Dalen McCutcheon from the Dallas area. He was supposed to be a junior day visitor. Had to cancel it late due to weather. Talon Taylor, Chicago prospects. Visited Notre Dame a few times now. Quincy Porter, Notre Dame would love to have from Bergen Catholic in New Jersey. And then at the top of the board in terms of ranking is Jamie French, the 5-star, who I wrote about this week in Blue and Gold. Mike Brown looking to make an impact there. So no commits right now, but I think you got to be excited about where the board is at right now.
I'm really fascinated to see how it all shakes out, because – they're prioritizing speed in the 25 cycle, and they're really prioritizing it at the wide receiver position. And when you think of Jerome Bettis and Derek Meadows, I don't think you really think of those guys being lightning fast guys. I think you think of those guys as really good, you know, wide receivers, like just, I don't want to say possession wide receiver, but they, you know, speed is not their best asset. I know Derek Meadows is a long strider, everything like that, but and then I look at the guys they've offered, and I was doing a ton of research on this yesterday, so I'll just go through it briefly. But Lex Cyrus, he ran a 10.45, 100 meter. Tanook Hines, who they offer in December, 10.89, 100 meter. Raiden Vines-Bright, 10.82, 100 meter. Sean Terry, 4.4, 40-yard dash. And I don't have any times on Elijah Burris, Nasir Newkirk, or Donovan from IMG. So I think it's really interesting, because they are offering guys with speed. The fastest one of those guys being Lex Cyrus. I compared him in our Mike versus Kyle column this week to Tyreek Hill. I think he honestly does play like Tyreek Hill, like with the he's 5'10" and he is fast as all heck. I was watching his film and I was taking notes and everything. Like, he only had 13 receiving touchdowns, I think, last year, but it looked like it was double that. The amount of times he got tackled, like, a yard before the end zone was unbelievable. So, Lex Cyrus is probably my number one guy on the board in this class, because he's ridiculous. But I know Penn State is leading there. The other thing I am really fascinated about is what is going to happen with Talon Taylor, the top 100 recruit from Chicago. Notre Dame is prioritizing the heck out of Chicago in this cycle. They already have three commits from the Chicago area. They would love to add more than that. And Talon Taylor is a guy they've been on for a while. Mike Brown, the wide receivers coach, has been on him for even longer. This one is looking like a Notre Dame, Ohio State, Michigan, Georgia battle. I talked to Talon last night, USC and UCLA both involved. He's going to go down and visit Georgia next week. But I went and saw Talon at his high school real early in the start of his junior year, and we talked about how he lived in South Carolina for 2 years and, you know, did not really enjoy his experience in South Carolina. It was a little bit harder on him, so I wonder if he would give Georgia a shot. But I think we're looking at this being a Notre Dame, Ohio State, Michigan battle for Taylor. And I really think if Notre Dame continues to prioritize him, continue to show him he's a top-of-the-board guy, I think they get him. I mean, I really do. They are doing a great job in this recruitment. Marcus Freeman has been extremely involved. And right there, you're looking at Talon Taylor, Derek Meadows, and Jerome Bettis. There's three commits. So a lot of new offers out, and I'm interested to see which guys they choose to prioritize from that group, because there's just a ton of guys on that board.
Yeah, and I don't have any reason to believe that is going to slow down. I mean, spring eval period, Mike Brown's going to hit the road, and, you know, and Den Brock and those guys, and they might offer more, in April and May and whatnot. And then you'll have summer official visits in June. But I just have a sneaky feeling that Elijah Burris is going to end up at Notre Dame. I do like where Notre Dame's at with him right now.
Dude, it's crazy because Elijah Burris, his dad, Plastico Burris, played with Jerome Bettis in Pittsburgh, and he played with Ike Taylor's dad, Ivan Taylor's dad, Ike Taylor in Pittsburgh.
And I got to wonder if there's even – crossover. I gotta look these all up with Ryan Clark, Jordan Clark's dad, who's when you're rental at Notre Dame. Like, I know he's more on the younger end of that group of Steelers players, but maybe there was like a couple years there. I don't know, guys. I haven't studied all my Pittsburgh Steeler roster history here, but Darren Pritchard reminded me of that with all these Steelers guys up at Notre Dame currently. So just a quick note on Talon Taylor. I have been pessimistic about Notre Dame's chances here. Right. I am more optimistic about Georgia than you are for him. I know you're kind of speaking from your read in talking to him, but just kind of the scuttlebutt that I'm hearing, I think that Georgia is in actually pretty good position for Talon Taylor. So I don't know. I don't think he ends up at Notre Dame. But obviously I've been wrong many times before, and I would love to be wrong on this one. And we'll see. I know he had a really good visit on campus this past weekend, and Mike Brown was recruiting him really hard at Wisconsin. So that definitely helps the Irish here. I do think, Kyle, we are going to wrap up today's show right there. 48-minute banger of a show. I feel like this was our best show that Kyle and I have done together, so we'll make sure to replicate that next week. And I believe next week is actually next Wednesday is signing day, right? Or is that the week after? No, it's the week after, signing day for February. Or am I tripping? No, it's 2 weeks from now. So obviously they really expect Notre Dame to do anything on signing day next in a couple weeks. Yeah, we'll have some more things to discuss during next Friday's show. So, folks, if you have not done so yet, hit the thumbs up on this video. Subscribe to our channel, of course, for more content. Go to blueandgold.com for much more on your Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And use the promo code UND1, $1 for 2 months of access. Jeremy says, great show. Jeremy, appreciate you being here. K-Mac, thank you. You as well. ENC, TP. Appreciate you guys for being in the chat. And as always, folks, we'll catch you guys next time.